All right, back to Young Turks pre-election special. Ben Mankiewicz, Tommy Chong, Cenk Uygur, Rosanna Arquette, everybody. Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
So Rosanna is in 1,000 movies, Desperately Seeking Susan, New York Stories, Nobody's Fool, Pulp Fiction. This is interesting. She's in YouTube Red's comedy Sideswiped. So make sure you check that out. And Tommy, I didn't bother going through your Cheech and Chong movies, but I wanted to ask you real quick. I want to come
back
to you.
Up in Smoke.
Up in Smoke. So do older folks know you better because you were in the movies back in the day, or do younger people know you better because of marijuana?
Most people know me from Dancing with the Stars.
That's where
most people know me from.
That's true.
It's hard to say, you know. Young kids grew up with the movies. Our movies were babysitting movies, you know.
Uh-huh.
The babysitter would take out the movies when the parents were gone and play it for the kids. So.
That's really funny.
That's alarming.
I had parents that showed me that movie, so I was lucky.
Yeah, she was one of them. No wonder you turned out progressive.
By the way, who loves movies should check out Rosanna in the Hal Ashby documentary of Hal, which I think is outstanding.
And, it was. I saw it.
It's good. It's good, and she's great at it. And it's and Hal Ashby's a guy everybody should know about.
I like how Tommy and Ben have the same demographics, older and younger, because Ben from Turner Classic Movies and Young Turks.
That's right.
So, Rosanna, we were talking about North Dakota, and you wanted to mention something about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, because you were talking about that they're legalizing there. I'm praying that the land that they're using is going to be maybe now for the Native Americans, because they stole their land.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
And the pipelines are going right through. I was at Standing Rock. And what's horrible about the workers that are working there, there's a lot of sex trafficking, and there's an incredible amount of rapes that are going on.
Oh, wow.
So maybe something to mellow them out, but but that's what's going on there in a huge way. So hopefully the Native Americans are going to be able to use their own land and grow this pot legally.
Yeah, so there's a lot
when possible now, get an address other than a P.O. box, right? Yeah. Because now that is what's kept
them from being able to vote.
Right, tens of thousands of Native Americans from voting because they only have P.O. boxes, which is, again, nothing short of just flat out old fashioned, old school Jim Crow voter suppression.
And totally. Full on racism, seeing more than we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, it's always been there, but now it's coming to the light, and we're seeing how incredibly racist this country is. It always was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we saw it in this way.
We knew it existed, and
it's always been intense and horrible for people of color, but I always knew it, but we're seeing it in a way where we're all feeling it, and as we should have always felt it. And maybe that's a good thing, and that's what you were saying to
me.
Well,
we're all learning.
Yes.
You see, I grew up in a total racist town. I mean, my neighbor had two black German, black Labradors, and they're both called nigger.
Oh my God.
He would go outside at night and go, "Hey, nigger, 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 come on, boy, here, boy."
And that was in Calgary.
That was normal. The same neighbor had a birthday party for his daughter, and because I was half Chinese, I wasn't invited.
Uh-huh.
I just lived next door, and they had a bonfire, and I looked out my window. I was 11, 12 years old, looking out at all my friends playing and having a good time.
That's terrible.
Because I was too brown to be in the party.
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
Yeah. No, Calgary was. It still is racist.
There's nothing funny about the name that guy gave the dogs.
No, no.
There is something absurdly funny about giving two dogs the same name.
I like how you found a streak of humor in an otherwise hideous story.
It's the humor of a moron, but in
that's
the end,
right, that's right.
A dangerous moron. But
but that's how he sees the world in black and white.
That's right.
It's like there's no difference between the two dogs.
That's right.
Listen,
that's right. There you go.
Yeah.
When the black,
ruining the humor.
When the black community in Calgary, they got their stuff together, kind of, you know, they. There's been black in Calgary forever. You know, there's a small group of them. They're up in Edmonton, you know, from Texas, and they moved up to Edmonton. And they weren't allowed to stay in Edmonton. They had to go back north of Edmonton to a place called Amber Valley. But they would have little parties, dances when I was, you know, about 15, 16 years old, I went to one of them. And the racism, by the white people, wasn't mean. It wasn't meant to be mean. It was just ignorance, pure ignorance. And I watched as this white guy walked up to a black guy and said, "Excuse me, darky, can you tell me what time it is?" Mm-hmm. And the black guy hit him, just leveled him, boom, knocked him down. And I felt bad for both of them because he thought he was saying the right thing. Right. He had no idea.
Right.
It's ignorance.
Well, now we have ignorance and mean.
Yeah.
Like, like more than
no, it's a different level now.
So I think that, you know, who knows, and this is for anthropologists and sociologists to discuss, not talk show hosts, but my sense is that we have this history, and Canada has this history too, and of course much of the world, Europe as well, and but we did get better. And it is not just that the what has happened starting in 1994 and accelerating massively in the 2015 and into the 2016 election. It's not just that when the it's in exposing it, it has also grown it, because there is value in knowing that if you feel these kind of things, if you're a temptation to use the N-word when addressing a black guy, you knew you should feel shame. Something told you, and now that's out. And that does make things worse. It is not just that we've uncovered what we already were. We had problems, we have exacerbated them.
They're emboldened.
That's right.
Yeah, and look, this is at the heart of the election tomorrow, because you know, we were talking about it in the regular show earlier today, and there was a shooting in Tallahassee where the guy was incel, right wing, and hated women. And so, and he went and shot six women, pistol whipped a guy who was trying to stop him. And two of them are dead, an esteemed doctor and a 21-year-old student. And he was encouraged, he was emboldened. So he might have always been an angry, weird guy in the old days, but he went online and people kept telling him he was right, that, women are the problem. and so unfortunately, they formed little communities. It's almost the opposite of what happened in the Civil Rights era, because one of the stories that I love about the Civil Rights era was the story of how the diner protest began. It actually was not any organization, it was not the NAACP, it wasn't Martin Luther King. It was four friends that were going to college in North Carolina together who built up the courage, talking to each other, encouraging one another, "We can do this, we can do this." And they went and sat down at a whites only part of the diner in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it required tremendous courage, because it was at night and the Klan started gathering outside, okay? Mm-hmm. But they built up the courage to be able to do that, and they changed the world. And so then once they did it, others began to do it, etc. Unfortunately, now it's going in reverse. And they're building up the courage to build up hatred and think that it's okay to build up that hatred. Right, the Jews did it. I mean, look, everybody knows it's George Soros.
Right, and it's not right. So one, it's the misinformation. It's two, how they're getting the misinformation. They're getting the misinformation online, and then they're finding colleagues, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you thought that Native Americans and black people and Jews and Turks and everybody from the Middle East was less than you, again, you had some sense that, man, I can't say this out loud, right? And that carries with it an idea that, you know, maybe it's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And now you can find someone. Now you can find, you go on Gab, you can't just find someone, you can find hundreds, thousands who will tell you, actually, yeah, you're totally on it. This George Soros guy is controlling the world.
Yeah, Emma Bigland, our reporter, has gone to these Trump rallies, bravest person in America, and one of the guys she interviewed had tattoos on his back, and in the lower part of the back was Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Ayatollah Khomeini. But above them, controlling the evil, was George Soros. He had tattooed that in his back. Okay.
Right. So he had a George Soros tramp stamp. That's a rarity.
Yeah, that's right.
That's funny.
And a tramp stamp to rule them all.
Right, totally.
Okay. And so, but they've got, I mean, they got people tattooing it on their backs because they've built communities of hate. And so that is deeply, deeply disturbing. It is possible that the last piece of sunlight as being disinfected. And we get to see them, we get to see what they're doing, we get to see the violence, et cetera, that rises from it, and tomorrow we end it. Or we don't.
That's right.
And then
what?
And then it will grow.
And then also,
it's a guarantee.
Because unless you say the sunlight that, and then we disinfect it, I'm pretty sure that's mixing metaphors, but I like it, and I'm with it. I got you. But of course, you have to do the work to disinfect it. The sunlight doesn't, it doesn't merely disinfect itself, right? So there is enormous work to be done, no matter what the outcome is tomorrow.
But racism is a cancer. And cancer has always been with us. And racism will always be with us in one form or another. It'll always be with us. It's ignorance. It's pure ignorance. There's a song, there's a religious song or spiritual song called Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know the words?
Yeah.
You know the song? That's you know who wrote it?
Woody.
No.
Guthrie.
No.
I thought it,
you know who wrote it?
Something.
Oh. It was a ship captain of a slave ship. His job was to transport slaves across the water. And he saw the light, and he changed his life.
I would have answered that Woody song, Guthrie and Pete Seeger, yeah, too. So.
That song.
John Newton.
That song, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he went on to.
I once was lost, and now I'm found.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
You know, it's we were earlier today.
See, everybody's blind, and now
everybody's got that.
Yeah.
That redemption quality. That's why Jesus, he didn't condemn anybody. He forgave everybody, and that's what we have to do.
So how are we going to come and meet in the middle? And that's what we have to do right now. This just.
No, what you do
how
is
do we do this?
Here's my theory, is just change yourself because yourself is the only one that can do it.
Yes.
Now you can't fight hate with hate.
No.
You can't fight ignorance with ignorance.
I agree.
You can only fight. There's another biblical saying called resist not evil, and that means. When you come across evil, don't give it any resistance.
Don't give it the energy.
That's right. That's right.
Because it's an energy, and then you
that's
feed
right.
it. You feed
that's
the
right.
Fire, which and is what he does. It, yes. That's what Trump is doing. That's yeah. what his followers are doing. It enables his violence. It's unleashed, especially on women and
yeah.
people of color.
But we are in a catch-22, guys. So the one thing we all agree on is voting, right? We make a political difference, yeah. and I think it's the most important election of our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. I really do. Most important midterm in a landslide. And Ben can attest to this because we've been doing this together for 16 years. I never buy into the hype that it's the most important election. They're like, you know, Obama versus Romney. We're either going to have Romney care or Romney care, right? But this one is for all the marbles. So it's if Kemp. Wins in Georgia. What it does is it says voter suppression is good. It leads to victories and nobody does a damn thing about it. Okay? And then he'll do more voter suppression. There's no paper trail in Georgia. If he, and right now there's talk, there's reports in Politico about how votes are being switched from Democrat to Republican. And they just say, oh, it's an anomaly. How come the anomaly doesn't go both ways? How come it's only switching from Democrat to Republican?
There were a couple in Texas that switched from Cruz to O'Rourke.
Right. Either way, even if that's the case, and I said it on the show, look, I'm not an expert on it. I want reporters in there. I want experts on it. I want people to be able to track it. I want a paper trail, right? Because I don't want conspiracies. I don't want us to distrust one another and distrust the system, right? Why Kemp had every opportunity. They were sued to make sure that there was a paper trail, and he would not do it. He's Secretary of State in Georgia. They say you got to step aside. You're overseeing your own election when you're running for governor. He said, I don't care. I'm not gonna do it.
They opened up, and that's Trump's playbook. That's where he got that. That's what told him that it was okay. And they opened up an investigation into whether the Abrams campaign, right? I'm sure you covered this, Cenk. Whether the Abrams campaign had hacked. Voting machines, yeah. hacked computers,
yeah.
and then offered absolutely no evidence,
no evidence
for it whatsoever. Roseanne and I were talking before we came out here. If this were Uruguay or Paraguay, I don't know why I'm picking on the Guays, but that's what I'm going with. No offense, but if we read that the president was running for re-election there, and he was also the oversaw the election in a competitive election, we would be like, man. What do you, like these third world bumpkins, right? They don't know how to do democracy. We know how to do democracy. I mean, it's an outrage. It should be a moral outrage to every American that Kemp is overseeing that election. It should be an outrage to every American that we elect political positions that serve as secretaries of state that oversee any elections. That shouldn't be a bipartisan thing. That should be a nonpartisan affair everywhere there is an election. And that we have to say that out loud seems comical. So maybe we, but and the notion that happens in the United States still staggers me. I'm still not used to it, sorry.
No, there's apparently a militia group that is saying that if Stacey Abrams is the governor, that they're prepared to fight it with weapons.
Because they've been encouraged. There's 100 militia members heading to the border now. The military is worried that it's more, that it's thousands. And even the Republicans down there are like, what are you guys doing? Don't come here. Look, one guy who's 80 years old, he said, look, he's a Republican, doesn't want undocumented immigrants. He calls them illegals. He says, I've been dealing with illegals for 30 years here. He's like, but this talk of how they're violent and scary is crazy.
There are children that are sick with diarrhea and fevers and walking across the desert with sick. These are not criminals.
That Republican said, they're generally really scared. And they hide in places, they don't want to be caught, et cetera. But they're not armed. So if you come down here with your guns, we got guns down here already. The Border Patrol have guns. National Guard's being called in, they got guns. He's like, you guys are going to cause a holy mess.
It's a distraction. It's a distraction to implement fear in people's minds, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's also worse because it's the beginning of brown shirts. So Trump is calling for them, and he doesn't believe in rule of law. And now he's got these goons out there that encourages violence at his rallies. He encouraged violence today again against Antifa, which is short for anti-fascist. He said, "Where's my biker gangs? Who's going to do something about it?" I mean, he encourages violence over and over again. If the Democrats don't win these elections, and you know me, I'm no big fan of the Democratic Party. Okay. But if the Republicans don't lose these elections, it gives them free rein. And I mean, these guys with free rein, I think literally the Republic depends on it.
The only downside of hyping correctly, I think, these elections as much as we have, is if it doesn't turn out the right way. Then even though nothing substantively changes, no law gets passed, we have given enormous political power, as to what you were saying, Jake, to the guys in power. We've given an enormous political advantage that they will leap and take advantage of.
So today there was some talk, even among some Republicans, that hey, if they lose the House, it's Trump's fault. He'll say it's somebody else's fault. He'll say it was no big deal, etc. But no, that's a heavy blow, and he'll be in trouble, right? But imagine if they don't lose
the
House.
Right,
even
right.
if they lose seats, but they don't lose the House overall, Trump's going to come out and go mandate. Everything I did, I'm going to double down on, because the people just told me I can do it. Racism, I'm going to double down on it.
And there will be enough
violence, double down on it. Anti-immigrant talk, double down on it. They're going to do it all.
And don't worry.
We're living under a dictatorship.
Trump will mess up. Trump can mess up a wet dream.
Yeah, well,
this guy is so inept.
I don't even want to think about it.
He is a professional loser.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
don't underestimate this guy. No matter he thinks he wants to win. All he wants is the cameras on him.
That's right.
And he finds out that he gets more action if he's saying ridiculous, stupid things. And the more he tries to lose, the more it seems like he's winning. But he's not winning. He's not winning. What he's doing, he's alienating everybody across America, like the march that came out after he was elected. It's the first time in history that there was a protest right after an election, And so I want everybody just to relax, because we're going to not only going to take the House, we're going to take the Senate, we're going to take it all.
I want you to be right. I badly.
So
I know everybody got burned last time because Hillary was going to win. And I'll tell you why Hillary didn't win. FBI.
Yeah, no question.
FBI was after Trump. Mm-hmm. And so if Hillary had won, there would have been no investigation. And so because they know Trump was so dirty, because they started going after Trump when he started that birther crap. And the FBI and the CIA and the intelligence, everybody went after Trump. They know more about Trump than Trump. And Trump knows that they know more about him.
That's why
he accused him of wiretapping his place. And the FBI wanted Trump to win so they can do what they're doing to him now. And by the way, they're Republicans, and so they got their tax cut. They got everything they want, and now they're going to put Trump in jail. Trump is going to go to jail.
Well, you're far more hopeful than I am, and I'm pretty hopeful. I think they're going to get wiped out. But
you do.
I do. But so to answer your question, Roseanne, I don't think that we're under a dictatorship now. I think we have a plutocracy, unfortunately, and Warren Buffett says the same thing. Paul Volcker, former head of the Fed, says the same thing. Basically, the rich, few rich people rule us all. Sheldon Adelson has given $113 million in just this midterm cycle in political donations. Why? He's gotten back tens of billions of dollars in saving and tax cuts on the estate tax alone, let alone all the rest of the tax cuts that he got. So we are ruled by those guys, but in terms of actual fascism, I wrote an article about it today, tyt.com/stories. No, look, I think the fascists are here. The question is, tomorrow, do they win or do they lose? Because for now, we do. We have a democracy. You can go and vote. It got rigged a little bit in who was nominated, right? That's always usually how things are rigged. And by rigged, I don't mean conspiratorial or fixing of things. I just mean they get more money poured into them.
Let me just buttress Cenk's point, because it's a thing that you reminded me of. You know, my father was Bobby Kennedy's press secretary in 1968, and Bobby was, of course, murdered in June. But you know, Eugene McCarthy had run for president of the Democratic Party in 1968, and again, an indication of why there was so many protests, so much violence on the streets in 1968 at the convention. The guy they picked to be the nominee to run against Richard Nixon didn't run in any primaries. Right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so you and I have argued a lot over the meaning of the word rigged, but we can agree that's a form of rigging when one of the nominees is a guy who received zero votes.
Yeah, when I was seeing the documentary about that, I even though I had kind of knew about it, I was like, That's amazing. Okay. Why wasn't it one of the guys who ran? They just gave it to him. And as usual, with the Democratic Party establishment, total loser. And they bungled it. They thought, oh no, we picked the establishment guy, he'll win. No, he got routed by Nixon.
He didn't get routed.
He barely lost.
So what do we do about Fox News and the brainwashing of this?
Well, that's also
because talk about fake news. That's the narrative that he created, but it's actually them who.
There's a wonderful piece in the New York Times Review of Books a few weeks ago, and they say it better than certainly I can. But the Fox News and the right-wing radio is why whatever sort of plutocratic fascism we'll end up with here, if it has its day, it's not going to look like anything we've seen before. It's not going to look like Duterte in the Philippines. It's not going to look like Franco, and it's not going to look like obviously Germany in the 1930s, because they have this incredibly effective propaganda arm that has effectively denied truth, or at least made truth a debatable subject, right? And then you have a mainstream, certainly television media, that is basically complicit in that, because they're, first of all, they are, and now I'm gonna sound like Cenk, they're all, you know, they're part of a giant corporate structure, and they want things to be a certain way, and most of them mean well, right? But you don't get to run NBC News. Who was it? Was it George Lakoff who's like, look, you don't get to be the guy who runs General Motors and the guy who runs Exxon Mobil, right? And the guy who runs US Bank, right? And the guy who runs NBC News, they all kind of have the same worldview. Some of them are more conservative, some of them are a little bit left of conservative, not many. But they have the same idea of how things work. And they want structure, they want a continuation, they want the machinery to continue to run, to maintain the status quo. So when you come up with a propaganda arm that is incredibly effective, that the rest of the media is sort of forced to pay attention to under the structure that we have now, you don't need to arrest the media, right? In Hungary, I just read today that 4 years ago in Hungary, the ruling party, the dictator there in Hungary owned, I'm gonna butcher the numbers, but only slightly, I think they owned 23 media outlets, right? Owned outright, which is dangerous. They now own, 4 years later, over 500 media outlets. So they don't need to take them over, they have them. Right? So CNN can continue to go and continue to do its thing. They're not worried about it because they have an answer to it. And that we never had in this country until Fox started taking on the role that they have.
How did Jerry Hall end up with from Mick Jagger to Rupert Murdoch?
Such a disappointment.
I mean, yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
She's with Richard Murdoch?
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch. They're married. Yes. They're married, yeah.
As they're married.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I want to do an intervention.
Yeah,
on her.
I mean, so last two things.
So Murdoch's gay too?
I hadn't heard that one before. Last thing here. Look, to Rosanna's point about Fox News. Look, they went to Charlottesville and they chanted the Jews will not replace us. And then they killed someone. And at one point, they had gone to scope out a synagogue, and the people were inside, and they were afraid to leave because there were literally Nazis outside their synagogue in America. And Trump came out and said, there are good people on that side, okay? And then there was another synagogue shooting, obviously, just a little while ago, and 11 people are killed. And Fox News made it all seem like, it's okay, it's even. I mean, it's bad, but it wasn't the right wing, but it was the right wing. And Trump didn't encourage it, but he did encourage it. He said it was good people on both sides. So they took the truth and lies and equated it. And so when you do that, it gives the lie an unnatural advantage. And so much of their propaganda, and then the most powerful part of it is the way they beat down the rest of the press. So the minute that the press go, wait, no, but that is fascism, they chanted blood and soil. They chanted the Jews will not replace us. Then they killed the Jews. That is fascism. When you do it to Muslims, by the way, it's also fascism. And then Fox News says, no, you're biased if you say that. And the rest of the press cowers. So to Ben's point, they didn't have to buy the rest of the press. They just needed Fox News to intimidate the rest of them. Yeah. And look, they're more active than they have been in the past, the rest of the press, but not nearly enough.
And to the Rosanna's point earlier, like, yeah, I agree in theory that we have to meet in the middle, but who are we gonna meet?
I know.
Who's coming to meet us?
You know
I know what
I mean
you mean.
By yeah. That. You know. Yeah. You know what I
no,
mean.
No, it's conceptual, but it's like the reality is. Then what are we supposed to do?
How do we come together
right.
here? Because it's so split.
Right. That's
and,
not.
You know.
Yeah.
Can we become our own West Coast country?
And unfortunately, but that leads to your other point, and I really got to wrap up. But like in the old days, you could come to the middle, and you could come to a conclusion. But they've got these people who live in an alternate reality. Again, Emma went down and talked to protesters, ran some of it today. They think that the danger, they were in Florida. The shooting of the women happened in Florida.
Yeah.
And they don't think that's the danger. There's nonstop massacres. There's literally a massacre every single day in America now. Okay?
And the NRA's funding
right.
all this,
and they don't think,
all the politicians.
And they don't think that's the danger. They think the danger is a bunch of unarmed, poor refugees in a caravan thousands of miles away. And so how do you meet people in the middle when they don't believe in reality?
That they're going to separate from their parents and then sell them into sex trafficking. That's what they're doing. Because there's a lot of kids missing, and they don't have any idea where they are. And you know it's true.
All right, we got to take a break. Tommy, I know you're going to go. Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming in. Really, really appreciate it.
And let me say my thing.
Yeah.
It's a biblical word. This too shall pass.
And hopefully it passes tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's it in a nutshell. Thank you, Tommy. We'll be right back.
Okay.